Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 89. It's a Monday, April 2nd, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome, everyone, to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. Wow, Ray. It's been a good week. I had Mike over the whole week because it's a spring break.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we just stayed in, staycation, just for the whole week. And it was good. It was, didn't we mention that, during the week, last week was the wedding for
Dave
and Jason. We talked about it last week.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Yep.
And then, what else did we do? You know, we did not do Steak Night Tuesday last.
Well, I'm broke, so I haven't been doing Steak Night.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I wanted to tell you, Ray, about this restaurant we went to in New Caney. So last Saturday we went New Caney is pretty much considered like a country, or going to the boondocks.
Well, it's not a country; it's in the country.
In the country,
big difference. Big difference.
Okay.
Although it could be considered a different country at some times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's more like Trump country, if you ask me. But
pretty much, it was like Trump country. So we were there. We went to a restaurant called Fat Boys. And there are so many trucks outside, and Mike and I were thinking, should we go inside? Should we check it out? Yeah, why not? Let's check it out. Let's see what kind of a mom-and-pop restaurant it is. When we went inside, oh my God, I was the only non-white person there.
I know. They were like, where'd this Mexican come from?
I know. What? I'm Asianese. Anyway, so we went
inside. In New Caney, they probably can't tell the difference.
You
were dark-skinned, and they're like, he's Mexican.
Yeah. So I walked around and then, got our tables. And Mike told me that people were looking at me. We ordered a short stack. Pretty good food. It was homemade, It's like a mom and pop place. They had ham and everything. People were smoking, though. So that's kind of a turnoff for me.
Yeah, that's what I hate about getting out of the city of Houston. People smoke.
People smoke in restaurants.
In restaurants and everything else. So.
Yeah.
None of the Bubba said, you sure do have pretty lips.
No, don't have a pretty mouth. No. Oh, yeah. The guys weren't hot either. So it was not a pretty sight.
What, there was a bunch of Bubbas and you didn't find any of them hot?
No. There were no Bubbas there.
Wow.
There were no Bubbas.
So no going to New Caney anymore.
Nope, not anymore. Maybe just to pass by. So I did some yard work. I did a lot of progress. I don't have plants yet, but I had to put some boundaries, some edging and everything, and put some soil. I just need to put plants now. They're all set now. I just need to put plants.
Well, you might want to hold off a week, because I just noticed that next weekend in my hometown, it looks like they're going to get sleet and snow again, because there's this big storm brewing up north, and it's going to be pushed down into the south. So I'm telling you what the hell's going to go on.
Oh no! It's gonna be.
We might not get any of it, but you just never know. So.
Yeah, I won't mind any cold front or whatever.
Well, your plants might have a different idea about that.
Yeah, that's true. I hope they survive. So also it was Easter. Hey, happy Easter, everyone! Happy belated Easter. Yeah.
He is risen.
He is risen. Just like my pants. Anyway, so Easter lunch at Luby's.
Yeah.
Of all the places to go.
That was some dry-ass ham.
Yeah, it was. I kind of thought I should have diversified, but y'all just tried to, it was like I was forced into it, in a way. To have ham.
You weren't forced into anything. You got what you wanted.
I know. It's more like a mental peer pressure, even though you all got
whatever.
Yeah, because it's Easter lunch with my buddy. So Patrick and Jerry were there. It's good to see them.
Yeah, that's why we went there, because that's the only place Jerry likes to eat.
And that in the Subway. Galleria area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had that food, pretty good. The carry cake's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was pretty good. There's a lot of it.
Yeah, it's a big cake. And then afterwards, Ray, we met up with Julio and Tim over there too. We all watched. What did we watch, Ray?
Ready Player One.
That's right. That's pretty good. I enjoyed it. I really
enjoyed
it.
Enjoyed it too.
That's right.
If you're into video games and pop culture, so much, most people like it. Although I've seen a couple of reviews that's like, well, he overdid it or something. I hadn't read them all, but I was like, it's getting mixed reviews. But I thought it was pretty good. It's very entertaining. I didn't get bored. I lost track of time.
Yeah, me too.
How long the movie had gone on until Timo says, I got to get to work. It's 4:30 already. And I said, five more minutes.
Yeah, so it was really good because it's very nostalgic because there's a lot of 80s music and lots of games like the Atari and what else?
I know, back in my day.
Oh yeah, it was really good. It was really a fun movie. And what else were there? It's virtual reality stuff. It's pretty good. Yeah. And we pretty much have this similar technology right now, like the Oculus Rift and the Vive. And
it's all the gaming stuff that we have now taken, 40 years into the future? Or is it 20 years? 25 years into the future.
Yeah, something like that. That's not too far if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be old, really. Okay, so...
I'll be really old.
Yeah. And what you've been doing the whole weekend? Well, Mike and I are doing yard work.
Well, Saturday we went to Harmon Park and walked around, tried to stay as much as possible, and I still got sunburned. Mm-hmm. But it was fun just walking around Harmon. It was just a beautiful day, and it was nice, and just walking around and enjoying the sights and watching the people and seeing the flowers in bloom. It was just really nice to be at Harmon Park. So
yeah, is that the place where they have the concerts? The Harmon.
Yep, right there around Miller Outdoor Theater.
Okay, so that's cool.
We went to the flower garden, and then we went over to the Japanese tea garden, and then we just walked around.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Okay, so it's been a busy weekend for us, but I guess we can proceed to our stories for our audience.
That's okay, right.
Let's go to the gay. I would like to take this one because...
All right, go for it.
Okay, so a woman horrified to learn her pristine Martha's Vineyard rental was used for a gay adult film shoot. This is kind of, I find this kind of funny because...
Wow, chicka wow wow.
Yes, that's right. Brown chicken, brown cow. So yeah, it's Martha's. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard and I've heard good things about it. I have friends who go there all the time and it's one of these days I'll probably go there. I want to go, but then somebody's house.
Maybe you can rent her house out.
Yes, that's right. It'll be awesome. So Leia Bassett is not a happy camper. She owns a luxury beachside rental property in Aquinnah, Massachusetts, and that she says was totally defiled by an adult film production company.
Defile.
must be hot ethnic men. I don't know. Maybe.
No.
Okay, so according to a new lawsuit, Bassett claims she rented her home to some dude named Joshua Spafford from October 4th, 2014 through May 15th to 2015, or so she thought. In reality, Spafford rented the home on behalf of another person, Monica Jensen, also known as Nika Noel, who owns the adult production company Mile High Media. Nice name. So they could create a multitude of gay male and transsexual porn videos. In the lawsuit, Bassett says Spafford made no mention that her home would be used as a shooting locale for commercial porn prior to renting it, and that the lease stated the property could not be used for any commercial purposes. Not just that, but she says when she returned to the house in May 2015, there were extensive damages to the property that totaled in nearly $16,000. Bassett didn't initially know the house had been used as a porn set. It wasn't until after she did some online sleuthing that she says she independently made the highly disturbing discovery that her personal residence had been used during the leasehold of the commercial production of graphic pornography. Bassett claims Spafford and friends utilized nearly every room of her home. every room of her home for their porn production purposes. Even the laundry, even the patio, including the nude, semi-nude, and/or male ejaculatory scenes in her bedrooms. Oh my God. I would have felt bad also. Her living room and family room sofas, her stairway, atop her dining room table, her bathrooms, her basement, atop her laundry room and appliances. Oh my God. In addition to those horrors, Bassett says they deliberately used her linens and bedspreads, including the decorative bedroom pillows, hand-sewn, designed specifically by Miss Bassett for their condomless ejaculatory porn scenes, rather than purchasing and using more generic linens of their own. As a result of the shocking discovery, Bassett says she suffered severe emotional distress that required her to see a therapist to help deal with emotionally and psychologically traumatizing effects for everything that had happened. She also could not live on a property for 2 years. It was just too painful. Oh my God, she's a drama queen. Now she's suing Spafford for breach of contract and trespassing. Well, she could do that. As well as copyright infringement, since her copyright-protected artwork was shown in many of the porn scenes. Oh, wow. Oh, and she wants to be reimbursed for her dry cleaning. The lawsuit doesn't list a specific dollar amount, but Bassett notes that if she had leased the home, had leased the home to a production company, she would have charged well over $300,000. Wait a second. She would have done it anyway for $300,000?
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Oh, God. So it's all about money then?
Well, it's always all about money.
Well, yeah, not about this emotional distress.
Well, yeah, you got to put that emotional distress in there, because that's where you get the jury on the emotional distress. Because I'm sure they're going to put her on the stand and she's going to be talking to the jury about, oh my God, there are all these large penises and they were ejaculating everywhere and I couldn't believe it. Jesus.
This is awesome. I don't know. I find it funny. I feel sorry for her. You know, she's
well,
just,
I mean, they lied to her. I mean, I understand her being pissed off about it. I mean, they lied to her. Yeah. And if it had been a commercial thing, she probably would have charged them $300,000, because she's like, if y'all going to use my house commercially, because with film production in Hollywood and stuff, they charge out the wazoo when they use those houses. It ain't cheap.
Yep. So let me ask you, Ray, what if the place you're staying at, you had to film you get a chance, you know, you'll be paid handsomely to be, use your location to be in a porn scene. Would you do it?
Well, it all depends on how much they pay me.
Oh, okay. So there's a price. There you go.
See? There's a price.
There's always a price. I don't know. I live in the suburbs. I don't know if I can do it. Maybe I would. Maybe I should.
You don't know if you can do it? There's been porn filmed in your house before.
Oh, that's right. Wait. What? Wait a second. I don't know about that.
Next story. UK man has world first case of super strength gonorrhea.
Beware, people.
That's right. A man in the UK has contracted a super strength strand of gonorrhea, believed to be the first case globally to resist the main antibiotic treatment. Calls to rein in antibiotic use after study shows 65% increase worldwide. Public Health England said the patient had a regular female partner in the UK, but contracted the infection from a sexual encounter with a woman in Southeast Asia.
Oh, my God.
He visited a health clinic for a treatment in early 2018. Attempts to get rid of the sexually transmitted infection with the recommended treatment, a combination of antibiotics, erythromycin, and
ceftriaxone.
That's what he said. Have failed. We are investigating a case who has gonorrhea, which has acquired abroad and is very resistant to the recommended first-line treatment. This is the first time a case has displayed such high-level resistance to both these drugs and to most other commonly used antibiotics. The analysis of the case, PHE notes, is the first global report of the infection resisting both antibiotics. Gonorrhea can lead to infertility if left untreated, and is known to cause symptoms including unusual discharge from the sexual organ and inflammation. Fears of antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea spreading in the U.S. has prompted health officials to trace the man's sexual partners to try to contain the spread. The man's U.K. partner tested negative for the infection, the PHE report said. Dr. Hughes has added, PHE actively monitors and acts on the spread of antibiotic resistance and gonorrhea and potential treatment failures, and has introduced enhanced surveillance to identify and manage resistant strains of infection properly to help reduce further spread.
So I hope he didn't...
Here's the deal. if the chick that he was doing didn't test, they ain't been getting it on. That's why he was getting it on with some chick in South Asia.
Yeah, that's probably the case. So it's really sad that, you know, that it happened in Southeast Asia. So what's going to happen now if he reads this story? And hopefully that the woman who transmitted the gonorrhea to the guy might as well just, I don't know if she'll even get to see this news. Maybe she will. Who knows? Maybe is there a way for him to contact her at least?
I don't know. Do you keep up all the phone numbers of your ex-tricks? Your ex-hookers? Okay.
No.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's true. However,
track all the bears you've had sex with at a bear run?
No.
Or is it just a blur?
It's a blur.
Yes, that's what I thought.
You make it sound like I'm a whore.
Well, no, whore's charged. You don't. So you're just a slut.
Oh, okay. I must. Anyway, so yeah, sorry for this guy. I hope everything goes well.
Yeah. But you know, our friend Julio, who does HIV and STD testing and treatments, has been saying that syphilis and gonorrhea are getting more and more resistant to the antibiotics that they use, and that you better be careful. And there's been a syphilis outbreak here in the U.S., especially in the Texas area.
Yep. And in the Galveston area, there's a, what is it? A hepatitis C.
Well, no, it's not a hepatitis C outbreak. The clinic did not clean their utensils correctly, and may have passed hepatitis C, HIV, and some other things on to clients because they did not properly clean and sterilize the equipment the way it was supposed to be done. So
were they sharing needles? I wonder if it is.
Well, no, some of those clinics use those old needles that they reuse and stuff, so I don't know, but it's a chance that they've spread it to other people. So
Anyway, so it's really sad that that you know, these diseases, these STIs, are becoming more resistant. And it's really scary. I hope HIV doesn't become too resistant from prep or anything. I hope not.
Yeah, and herpes is getting stronger and stronger too. It's hard. It doesn't work as the drugs they use for it, but cyclovir, it doesn't work as good as it used to.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really scary. Everybody's getting infected and everything. But that's pretty scary. Anyway, so guys, everybody out there, use protection don't do anything risky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't hook up with hookers in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, that's one too.
Or the Philippines.
What? There's no disease in the Philippines. Okay, let's go to the Geek Ray.
Okay. Meryl Streep rumored to replace Carrie Fisher as Leia in Star Wars.
Is this for real?
Yes, because I checked it. There are other stories, and there was an updated one today about another news agency talking about this.
Yeah,
that's going on. So
yeah, it's in BBC.com.
Anyway,
I saw that too. Go ahead.
When Disney and Lucasfilm confirmed they were not motion capture include CGI Leia in Star Wars 9, there was never any real talk about an actress coming on to replace her, which sounds like sacrilege unless it's a younger version of the character. As fans have long been in support of Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown coming to play the princess in a standalone Star Wars story, but now some fierce rumors have begun to rear the ugly head that Meryl Streep will step in to play the role once occupied by her longtime friend Carrie Fisher. And Meryl Streep once famously played a version of Carrie Fisher in Postcards from the Edge, and has already had some insight into Carrie Fisher's mind space when it comes to inhabiting this particular sci-fi icon. So, and if y'all have ever seen Postcards from the Edge, Postcards from the Edge is based on a book that Carrie Fisher wrote, if I'm remembering this correctly, that dealt with her and her drug addiction and her mom and dealing with her mom, who was Debbie Reynolds.
Oh, and it's about her and she.
Yeah,
really...
it's about her and her mom and their relationship and how crazy it was and how her mom was always competing with her and everything like that. So
it's really just right for Meryl Streep to play.
Well,
as
I mean,
her.
She has insight into Carrie Fisher, so.
Yeah. Okay.
But Lucasfilm has already disturbed the fan base adequately enough with the very decisive The Last Jedi. Will they really trade an older Leia out? Carrie Fisher's death has left a giant hole in the genre fandom, which is still felt to this day, and her death had a major impact on Star Wars fans, which is still being felt even more than a year after her passing. Most fans are probably okay with letting the character die between The Last Jedi and Star Wars 9, as she had to ride off in the sunset in a previous chapter. The Last Jedi adaptation even sets up that Leah is suffering from her bout in space and gives them a perfect out for wrapping up the character story arc. There is a problem. Leah was always meant to be the driving force behind Star Wars 9, such as Han was in The Force Awakens and Luke was in The Last Jedi. She was the main character in the script and ultimately got scrapped by fired director Colin Trevorrow. J.J. Abrams, who replaces the filmmaker, has already finished his script and shooting begins this summer. There's been no official mention yet that he's bringing Leah back in any capacity. Meryl Streep is the most obvious answer and the least offensive at this point, but it still isn't going to sit right with a huge portion of the fan base, no matter how you slice it. And the beloved Laura Dern is proof that it doesn't matter who the actor is. Behind Rose Tico, Holdo is one of the most hated aspects of the latest Star Wars adventure. An online petition has launched, which is getting some buzz. There are some fans who do want to see this happen, but it's hard to gauge its authenticity. It states the following. As the fans of Star Wars and Carrie Fisher, we really want Leah to shine in episode 9, and we certainly don't want her to be written out of the film abruptly without a reasonable plot. Therefore, recasting Leah is a more ideal option, and we believe that Meryl Streep is an ideal candidate to play Leah. We strongly believe that she is the best hope for us to see the legacy of Carrie Fisher in episode 9. May the Force be with Carrie Fisher, Meryl Streep, and Princess Leia. Though Carrie Fisher and Meryl Streep were fast, easy, and longtime friends in real life, it's impossible to gauge how Carrie Fisher would have felt about being replaced. She always had such a great sense of humor about the role, but she never talked much about leaving the franchise in such a case of her death. So let's not put any words in her mouth. She may have loved the idea or hated it. We'll never know. This news was covered at the dark side of the Force. So
Meryl Streep, I think it's a good idea. I think that Meryl Streep playing as Princess Leia would be a good homage for
And Meryl Streep, I mean, she's a freaking Oscar-winning actress, so she could pull it off.
Yeah, and with the right makeup and everything, she could probably somewhat almost look like her. Or, you know what? They can do the same thing they did with the the Emperor in Revenge of the Sith, wherein he got electrocuted and everything and
yeah.
become deformed. They could do something with Princess Leia.
Yeah, I mean they could change her appearance up with prosthetics and stuff because she was frozen and stuff in the Last Jedi. So, I mean, it's interesting to see what's going to happen. I mean. Because J.J. Abrams is back in the helm of this one, so
yeah, I hope it has some.
And everybody's kind of getting their swan song, so they can walk away and go on with the new franchise of Star Wars. And 9 was supposed to be Leia's, and unfortunately, Carrie Fisher died. So, but I still think that they should do it with a Leia, and find somebody that can play Leia and pull it off. And I think Meryl Streep could do it if they do that. So,
yep, hope they can do that. All right, I guess that's the story for the geek. Let's go to the bizarre. I'll take this one.
Okay.
Okay, although I don't like this too much because it's about raping 11-year-olds. Okay, so a man had girlfriend rape 11-year-old autistic son because he thought the boy was gay. An Alabama man and his girlfriend were convicted this week for the rape of his 11-year-old autistic son. This makes it bizarre, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. The bizarre thing is he talked his dumbass young girlfriend into doing it.
Yeah.
And so she did it.
Yeah,
you can skip that. You can skip that line.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the boy's father, 29-year-old Sean Cole, has got his girlfriend to rape, sodomize, and abuse the child because he thought his son was gay, according to the prosecutor. Okay. So on Tuesday, a Madison County jury convicted Cole and his girlfriend Khadija Moore of rape, sodomy, and sexual abuse of a child younger than 12. Each faces up to life in prison. Of course they should. Oh my god, they should rot in prison. So sentencing is on May 24th at 11 a.m. So the crimes happening during the week of Thanksgiving 2016 when the boy was in Huntsville to visit his father. Oh my god, it's in Texas.
No, that's right. Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, Huntsville, Alabama. Okay. Said Tim Douthit, the Madison County Assistant District Attorney who prosecuted the case. The trial began Monday and wrapped up with the guilty verdicts Tuesday afternoon. After Cole found his son in a compromising position with another boy, he directed Moore to perform sex acts on the child. Prosecutors said Moore, 20 years old at the time, raped, sodomized, and inappropriately touched the child, according to trial testimony. The couple also forced the child to perform sex acts on Moore. Oh, God, this is so sick. It was solely that Cole was worried that his son was gay or might become gay, Douthit said. There was no evidence he had a sexual attraction to his son or children. He just thought he could, for lack of a better word, straighten him out by sodomizing the kid. God, this is awful. The boy lived in Georgia with his mother. When he returned home, he asked her questions about sexual behavior that made her suspicious. When a child told his mother what happened in Alabama, she immediately drove from Georgia to speak with Huntsville police investigators. So HPD investigator Will McDonald charged Cole and Moore in January 2017. Cole has been in the Madison County jail since his arrest. Pending sentencing, bail is set at $750,000 cash only. Cole's attorney, James Cathy, declined to comment. So, oh my God, this is horrible, Ray. I mean, it's bad enough.
But shit like this happens. I mean, just because somebody thinks you're gay, the stuff they go through.
Yeah, and then they exacerbate it by having sex with a minor. You know, I remember a story like this before. Somebody I know, he said that you know, they thought that this younger brother was gay, so he forced his brother to, you know, I think he hired a couple of prostitutes or one prostitute, and to have sex with him, to force him, because I don't want you to be gay, so yeah, he forced him to have sex with women, and then I don't know. It was bad. I don't know what happened to the guy, to the younger brother. But yeah, this was in the Philippines, so I don't know what happened to that. But anyway, forcing people to have sex because they think that they're becoming gay is just really horrible. That's really abuse.
So yeah, and they're going to jail for it. So
yep, thank goodness.
So and this kid by this time, that was 20. Let's see, what was that? 2016. So he's 13 now. So
yep.
All right. We talked about this before.
This is actually a follow-up story.
So, Smallville's Allison Mack likely facing arrest in connection to cult. Smallville star Allison Mack may be facing arrest for her connection to a so-called sex cult following the apprehension of the cult's leader earlier this week. That's according to Associated Speaking with Art Voice, who alleged that Mack is the co-conspirator named in a legal complaint filed by the FBI. Keith Rainier, the leader of the cult known as Nexium, was taken into custody by Mexican federal police on Sunday and extradited to the U.S. See, the U.S. is always sending their rapists and crazy people into Mexico. They ought to build a wall. To face charges of sex trafficking and conspiracy to commit forced labor. Mack was reportedly on site when Rainier was arrested. The FBI complaint details the experiences of a number of women who recruited in Nexium's DOS, a group made entirely of women who operated in master-slave hierarchy with Rainier at the apex of the pyramid. Recruits were forced to turn over collateral, sometimes in the form of damning documents, other times in the form of credit card numbers. From there, they were indoctrinated into the group's negative belief about women. Sometimes they put on extremely restrictive diets and were forced to perform acts of care for their masters. These would generally include basic acts common to a personal assistant, like getting coffee, carrying luggage, grocery shopping, etc. Eventually, many of these slaves were required to perform sexual acts with Rainier. Speaking to the press on Monday, FBI Assistant Director in Charge William Sweeney called Rainier's actions serious crimes against humanity and said Rainier displayed a disgusting abuse of power in his efforts to denigrate and manipulate women he considered his sex slaves. New details add accusations from a New York Times piece last October. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In which cult members described their experiences inside the group, including a ceremony that involved branding a symbol, which includes Rainier's initials into the skin on their hip.
What?
Yeah, that's the story we talked about in October. According to reports from around the time of the New York Times article, Mack was a high-level recruiter for the organization. positioned directly below or near, and may have been responsible for the creation of DOS in 2015. She joined Nexium in 2006, along with fellow small wheel star Kristen Correa.
Correa, however, says
she left the organization in 2013 and never witnessed any of the group's more illegal activities. In a statement on Twitter, Correa expressed his sympathy for the support of the victims of Rainier. Rainier reportedly used the moderate celebrity of both actresses as a recruitment tool. According to Max on website, Rainier was a mentor for her for years, and then the two of them went on to found The Source, a program for actors operating under the Nexium umbrella. In 2017, Frank Perlato, a former spokesman for Nexium, broke with the group and started a website where he written extensively on Nexium's DOS and other organizations associated with Rainier. There he discusses Max's involvement as a key player in the secret society of women recruiting additional slaves for the group and participating in their ongoing activities. So far, no charges have been filed against Mac or any other women involved in Nexium or DOS. In a statement on their website, Nexium maintains Rainier's innocence.
Okay, so this is the woman who played Chloe in Smallville.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was even planning to at some point rewatch Smallville, and now that I've known this story, and looking at the, what's her name? Mac?
Yeah.
I forgot her first name.
Yeah.
She's Allison Mack?
Allison Mack, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows there's Chloe from Smallville because you don't remember their real names.
Yeah, so if I'm going to see this, I'm going to feel bad because, you know, she's a cult leader, one of the cult leaders. And, yeah, it's like, would you compare this to Scientology? I don't know. It's really like master-slave stuff, right?
It's fucked up is what it is. And I've been watching, if y'all have Netflix, there's a documentary called Wild Country. And it talks about this exact same thing about a cult that formed and people following the leader and all this stuff that went down and everything. So I'm just finished the first part of it and I'm going to work on the second part sometime this week. So, because I think it's three parts to the deal. So, but it's very interesting.
Okay. So this is the sad part. Yeah. And that, you know, we have to, I don't know. I think he's out of the show business already, right?
Who?
I think. Allison Mack.
And, as far as I know, yeah. She's been doing this full time, I think.
Okay, so Kristen Creek.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she also joined.
Yeah, she joined and then she was out. But she was she was still doing the reboot of Beauty and the Beast for a while there. But I haven't seen anything with her in it lately. So.
Yeah, so Kristen Creek. She played Lana Lang alongside with the play of Superman. I forgot. You should know the Superman guy name. What's his name?
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling. That's right, Tom Welling. He's become older and...
he's a DILF now.
He's becoming a DILF now. Wow. Yeah.
Speaking of DILFs, did you see the shots of Brandon Fraser? Of him vacationing in wherever he was, Brazil or wherever it was this past week?
Oh, I think I have, and he's kind of a...
Because he's a big old fat guy like me now. He's not all cute, slim, and muscular like he used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him at the Mummy and everything. Now he's like a dad bod.
Yeah, dad looking. Total dad bod. I mean, me and him are about the same size, I think.
Oh, nice. He's now a bear. Okay, I guess those are the stories, Ray. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed these set of stories this time. Well, except for the rape one, it's really sad. Okay, so special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to send your comments, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
That's right. And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.